Fancy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
How's it going? How are you guys?
We're good. There's rumblings in the world that you're going to take a day off.
Tomorrow.
Man.
Is that okay?
I mean, that's fine.
Lucky.
I'm proud of you.
Kevin can't complain because he's been out a lot, too.
That's true.
In the middle of the football season, too.
It was the bye week. Yeah.
It was the bye week.
You get it. It's the exact same logic. No, I'm proud of you for taking a day off. I just want you to prepare yourself for this.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go ahead and you can start writing your column now, telling people that they're stupid and they need to stop talking about this. I'm just going to warn you. Jamal Adams has been released by the Titans per his request.
Uh-huh.
You ready? And it feels like every fringy Cowboys fan in the world is going to be like, hey, we've talked about this for 5 years. Now's the time to make it happen. And they're going to implore you, Mick, to make sure the Cowboys sign Jamal Adams.
He'll run right down the hallway, right?
Yes.
How come he got released?
He requested to be released because he wasn't playing on the Titans.
How come he wasn't playing?
Because he's not good enough anymore.
I was going to say, they didn't like him?
Oh, no. We're on the same page. He's not good enough.
So you think the Cowboys are interested?
Oh, my God.
I think they are interested.
I don't think that position is the problem, is it?
Okay, all right. I think it's a little further up in front of those safeties.
Yeah, exactly.
And the linebackers.
We've diagnosed that, I think, pretty well. And, you know, the linebackers have done a nice job now. They got to get Kendricks back on the field, right? Yep. But you know what? Damone Clark played one of his better games.
I could see that.
From a production standpoint.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how well he did setting up, you know, the changes after you get the call in. Because, look, me and you can get the call in, right?
Yeah.
We get it in our helmet.
Yeah.
And we repeat it. Now, the difference, though, is that now once you get the call in, you get to the line of scrimmage, it's like, okay, now they adjusted. Now, how do I reset our adjustments? And Kendricks is really, really good at that. And I think that was one of the things that got overlooked, that he just wasn't in there. Now, I don't know if he could have made a 40-point difference in the score, right?
Feels unlikely.
I would, you know, just having him on the field would make me feel more comfortable, let's put it that way.
When it comes to Tyler Guyton, he's expected to be the left tackle, right, when he comes back?
I would believe so, yes.
Okay. We discussed this a little bit. What work can he do in the next couple of weeks? I mean, even at home or whatever to grow. What does he need to do the most?
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to go out there and try his pass sets against his dad or whatever.
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah,
that'd be neat.
And his dad's he's in pretty good shape, by the way. Look, first of all, he's got to be 100% healthy, right?
Yeah.
Second of all, he's got to understand, I think, that this is the NFL and sometimes you got to play through things. And I'm not saying that he backed off or whatever. You know, they felt like he wasn't 100%. And if you're not practicing everything, although he was out there, and they listed him as fully, they just kind of kept it the way it was. But he's got to improve his technique. If you talk to people, and I get an earful from Nate Newton, and I assume he knows what he's talking about,
the
offensive lineman, that he's got to do a better job, number one, of keeping his hands inside, not getting them outside, and number two, just keep his feet moving. He's got good feet. Sometimes he gets stuck or he gets surprised by how fast the guy in front of him gets off. Now, you can help out there. You can put a fullback in there, a running back, and help chip the guy. All you got to do is nudge him, and, you pick up a second or so, which is all you need, or you just put the tight end over there and say, okay, we're going to help him out. Now, from a pass block situation, though, you can't help out both offensive tackles, and I think Terrence Steele needs to improve on his pass block.
Yeah.
But the deal is you got to get five guys out there together coordinated. It's not just one guy failing. If one guy fails, it may rub off on the guy next to him. And so I think from a run blocking situation, that's where they've really got to improve. Because if they can get the run game going on a consistent basis, then it helps your pass blocking because teams don't know, what you're going to do if you're not, 30 points behind. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm throwing the ball and throwing the ball and throwing the ball. I just think their deal is they've got to get this offensive line coordinated and get it healthy.
Now, I'm sorry if you shared this story on Tuesday and I missed it, but I just saw your column on DallasCowboys.com where you recapped a story from 1989 about a time that Jerry Jones was pissed off at you. Now, I would, of course, advise everyone to go to DallasCowboys.com and read the article, but I was also hoping you could kind of recount that story for us.
Yeah, it was. So it would have been, they did the, the trade with Herschel Walker to Minnesota. It was on a Thursday. And so we got the results, what the trade was for. But they didn't specify immediately that the four guys they got from the Vikings, who were basically like a sack of potatoes from a quality standpoint, that they were tied to draft choices. So when it first came out, it was initially just the players. And you're like, seriously? And at that time, we thought that was the best player the Cowboys had on that very bad roster, team, whatever. And we really didn't know that Jimmy was just kind of not into Herschel Walker's running style, kind of straight line, doesn't make anybody miss, wants to run over anybody. So anyway, on Friday, and I think it was on Channel 21, somebody produced a roundtable of the beat writers, columnists, to talk about the trade. And we basically panned it. Like, what are they doing? Do they know what they're doing? They didn't make a good trade. Well, somebody ends up running this rumor that Steve Walsh was part of the trade, but it wasn't going to happen until after the season. He was included in the Vikings. Well, I found out, and I think most of us did, that that rumor was really bad. It was not true. And so on Saturday, the editors at the paper, asked me about it. And I said, no, it's not true. I found it out. There's not even any sense, writing about it or talking about it. Well, we need Jerry to comment on this. And so I got forced to call Jerry. He had watched the TV show, right? And so I called and I told him, and he sort of just let me have it. One up and down and around, and I was sitting there kind of taking it, and we got to the end. And I said, okay, but would you like to comment on what I asked? And he said, oh, you can write any damn thing you want something like that, right? And so so I did. Right. And so I earned very early the wrath of Jerry Jones. Right. And
yeah.
I guess things got overlooked, I guess, because I'm kind of still here. It's part of the job.
Yeah,
sometimes, you got to face the music.
Sure.
I always said, especially if you're going to write columns, that if you kind of rip a player or, talk about how bad he played or anything, you better be in the locker room the next day and let him have his say if he wants to say something, right?
Yeah.
You had your say. Let them have their say. And it's just part of the job, the way I look at it. And, that's kind of what happens. But, back then there wasn't any social media or any, and it wasn't a public dressing down that I got. In the end, he was right, other than not understanding what the question was that I was trying to ask. But that's, that was done before. I could remember in 87 when at the Times Herald we were getting to write about what was going to go down with SMU and kind of pointing a finger at who, was responsible. And, the guys that covered it couldn't get that guy on the phone. And I said, well, I'll call him. I said, he doesn't know who I am. And, I got nothing to lose because I'm not covering SMU. So I called him, and the guy kind of dressed me down. And he goes, yeah, when this is over, I'm going to buy that newspaper, and you're not going to have a job.
Wow.
How about that? And I said, well, I didn't do so well. But anyway, it's just, I mean, it happens.
Said, good luck. Newspapers are going to be worthless 25 years.
40 years from now, you're not going to have a newspaper, right? But yeah, you know, but you got to kind of have to face it. It's, you know, it's part of the job.
Man, thank you very much for the time. Enjoy the day off, and we'll catch you again on Monday.
See if I can figure out what to do, huh?
Go do something fun.
I'm going to guarantee you.
All right, there you go. Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan. You can catch him on DallasCowboys.com as well. Corey, do you want to go Grandmama or Gilbert and
Let's
Friends?
Let's go Grandmama, dude. Okay. This is fun. I want to have some fun here, Kevin. And Mike, do you remember Grandmama commercials?
100%.
Do you remember what shoe they were for?
Converse.
All right. Here is, for anybody that doesn't know or didn't know, here's a little reminder of what the Grandmama commercials were. On the Fan.
These are my new shoes from Converse. They're so light and so fast, my Grandmama can whoop you in them. Grandmama! Let's go.
And so it was
him.
It was Larry Johnson,
grandma,
from Skyline High School, dressed up as a grandmother. But what I didn't know about this commercials, and Kevin, I don't know if you knew this, and Mike, I don't know if you knew this either, is that it was originally supposed to be something completely different. Now, Larry Johnson was in, again, he went to Skyline High School. Was it UNLV that he went
yes.
to in college?
He did go to a small, he wanted to go to SMU. SMU was like, because of the death penalty, worried about his grades. And
thanks to Mickey.
And we've talked about having him on the show a couple different times.
Yes.
But he talked to the All the Smoke podcast. He was on a stage, and he was talking about what that commercial was originally supposed to be.
They said, the first commercial is, we're going to put you on a gurney, we're going to cover you up, and nobody can see you. And he said, it's going to be two doctors. One going to be Magic Johnson, and the other doctor going to be Larry Bird. And at the time, if you can't remember, they both was in Converse. One doctor, Larry Bird, one doctor, Magic Johnson, and they going, scalpel, this, that. And they saying, we finished. And they say, the perfect basketball player. And then one of them say, well, we got to name him. And Larry say, well, his name got to be Larry. Then Magic say, no, Johnson, Larry Johnson, Larry Johnson. And the commercial goes off, Larry Johnson, Larry Johnson, Larry Johnson. I raise up, and that's the end of the commercial, right? They gave me $1 million signing bonus. Month later, I bought my mom a house with $1 million, so $1 million gone. So season starts. They come to me, you ready for the commercial? Yeah, I'm ready, man. The fellas ready? And another something to that story is, one of them didn't want to do it. When I got to the set to do the commercial, now they ain't telling me nothing. I got to the set to do the commercial, and I walked into my trade big time program, you know, like in the
LA?
Movies. Everybody got a
Hollywood.
Yes, everybody got a trailer. Oh, this is my trailer. And I see a dress, a wig. I see all this in the corner. I said, where's my wardrobe at? Because I ain't bring nothing. They say, you ain't got to bring nothing. And that's all I see hanging up. Two or three dresses, some wigs. I said, come on, man. And they came, they said, Larry, they pitched this one to me. They pitched this one to me. Now I done signed $1 million and done million
money gone. Money gone.
I said, what happened to the commercial with me and Magic and Larry? He said, one of them didn't want to do it.
One of them didn't want to do it.
Wrong.
Oh.
No. I never knew which one didn't want to do it. I never knew which one of them didn't want to do it. Larry loved me. Yeah, Larry loved me. I never knew which one didn't want to do it. Larry loved me.
I just thought that was a fun, like, hey, he's entertaining to hear talk for one. That was fun.
That commercial would have been amazing. I understand why.
Grandmama was great too.
Yeah,
yes,
was.
Agreed. I really wish they would have called him Magic Bird, because I think that would have been a cool name. But I didn't, like, honestly, when he said it was going to be Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, no part of me, even though it was right there.
Yeah, I've never thought of that before.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's a great idea.
And so basically it sounded like maybe Magic Johnson didn't want to be in that commercial with him.
Remember,
I don't know.
Magic Johnson at Team USA. He couldn't stand that people thought Michael Jordan was the new face of the NBA.
Yeah.
And Larry's like, let it go, Magic. It's over. He's the guy. We had our time. So I can see where maybe Magic Johnson's looking at it like, I am not going to stand over a dude in 1991 where I still think I'm the best in the world playing in all these NBA finals with five championships and saying, we've created the perfect basketball player.
Agreed.
I don't know if Magic Johnson has ever admitted to it or not, but if I ever get a chance to interview him, I'll ask him about that. If I ever get a chance. I don't know if I ever will, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't know. That could be what they call in the radio business.
He's in the public a lot. Don't you think somebody's going to ask him this question about the Larry Johnson?
Yes.
It'll be me.
Yes,
if I get
Mike.
A chance.
I do think someone is going to ask him that. I just can't say for sure when that is going to be.
We're having Magic Johnson on the show.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here.
Magic Johnson is going to be on our show.
105.3 The Fan. Just a reminder, Peace-a-thon coming up next month, the day before Thanksgiving. It's going to be gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, though.
We're getting a gigantic person.
AM on you know what?
Big show?
I should have said it's going to be Magic. 877-881-1053 if you want to wildly speculate. But coming up next, it's AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus another fun NBA story that you'll hear from next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Reminder, tomorrow morning, you can go see Sean and RJ at Firehouse number 3 in Denton, 1401 Underwood, just off of 35E. From 6 to 10 a.m., you can get the Tolo insulated lunch box, excuse me, plus a brand new G-Bag flag. And you can see the fellas. It's an extravaganza. No Buffalo Wild Wings for us tomorrow because it's a bye week. So why not go out to the Firehouse in Denton? Go see the guys.
And it's like seeing two shows at once. You know, you get to see one host from the G-Bag Nation and two hosts from the morning show.
That
so
is
it's like
true.
Seeing two shows at one time.
True, true, true. And right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that.
Don't you dare do it. I can see Kevin Hagelin thinking about it. It's time for AM on the FM. You know he just hates fun and prosperity here. Go Stars, baby. Go Stars.
I want the Stars to win.
The jury is out. The Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053 to answer today's question of the day. I got the Twitch and YouTube up as well. Want to hear from you guys. We'll get to that.
How's our Twitchers doing? I have Twitch up too right now. There's 94 people.
Twitch, oh, no. What happened?
I think that they're watching more on YouTube now.
Okay.
Throw that out there, Twitch. Sorry for you, Alec. Yeah, I'm ruining your segment here.
No, we got about 430 on the YouTube right now, so we're doing some good numbers over there. Twitch, we need you to step it up a little bit, all right? Step up or step aside, as John Cena once said. But we'll get to the question of the day here in just a second because of another national holiday that I don't believe is actually real, but the internet says it is. We will get to that. And a really fun, kind of heartwarming NBA story that we're going to hear from Naz Reid here in just a second. But before we get to any of the festivities, I did want to get a couple of things out of the way. Wanted to say really, really sad thing. Liam Payne, the singer, dying yesterday, former One Direction bandmate, fell from the third floor of a hotel in Argentina. Drugs and alcohol sadly involved in that situation there, but just wanted to send our best wishes out to that family. 31 years old. So, he is survived by a 7-year-old boy, which is just terrible to think about as well. But
am I hearing this right? He jumped from the third?
I think he fell.
But he was not in his right mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so the Argentinian police are actually telling the Associated Press that he had, quote, jumped, but there were witnesses on hand that are saying it looked like he fell. It's a whole messy situation, but really, really sad. I grew up being forced to listen to a lot of One Direction because of my older sister having a really big stereo system in her room.
What was your favorite One Direction song?
None. No, I'm kidding. They actually had some bangers.
You're out of my world like nobody else.
I can say with full confidence.
On the bathroom shelf.
They definitely had a few really catchy songs. A Story of My Life was probably the one I heard most, so I probably grew to like it a lot more than I probably should have. But yeah, really sad to see this happen yesterday. And I also wanted to say screw TMZ for their coverage of that, because they posted pictures of his body on their website minutes after it happened. And I hate when they do that stuff. So not a fan of their work, but they were the first to have it. So unfortunately, I have to credit them in that respect, but no other respect being given to them in that way. So thoughts and prayers going out to the family and especially the seven-year-old son of one Liam Payne. I just hate to see these stories come across so young, way too young at 31 years old. But let's try to make things a little bit happier here. The question of the day today is going to be based on another national holiday that I just don't believe is actually real. It's National Poetry Day.
Sweet.
And so whenever I think of that, I instantly think about the words that go into it rather than the project itself. So who is one of your favorite either poets or lyricists? Doesn't even have to be the instrumental part of it. Just someone who has a way with words. Who is your favorite orator or a lyricist?
In comedy, Andrew Dice Clay always started off his jokes with poetry.
Hickory dickory dock. Oh! I can't say the rest because...
Well, thank you for that.
You know,
I like this job, and I would like to keep it.
Dang it. That's not what I would have guessed. When you said, who's your favorite poet or lyricist? I wouldn't have thought
for some reason,
Andrew Dice Clay
Dickory Dock
would immediately come up. Is it one of the poets who like hits on the bongos when they're like, deep thoughts of nightmarish minds? And then they just keep going.
Shel Silverstein.
I don't even know what that's from.
Where the Sidewalk Ends. Yeah. That was the book I read so much as a kid. I was terrified of a lot of the drawings, but they were also, I spent so much time looking at the drawing, the illustrations, and just watching, like looking at that and comparing it to the poems. It was awesome. What was it? Candle
in the
Opera
Wind
or something?
Oh.
Where the sidewalk ends and the road begins.
That's a song.
You said goodbye on a cold, dark night. Is that the one?
Not afraid to go.
That's poetry.
You bet I'm not.
Because of Corey, I have changed my answer to Laura Numeroff. She is the author of the If You Give a Mouse a Cookie books.
Oh, my gosh.
The wordplay and flow
it's pretty good.
In those is tremendous.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Man.
Moses.
Yeah, Moses is a viable answer.
See, if we're going down that route of books, I would say whoever wrote the Captain Underpants books.
Those books were good.
Those definitely got me through like fifth grade. Because, you know, fifth grade is real tough. That's where life really begins. The Diary of a Wimpy Kid books, too, were great as well. I love the one that you could fill in your own adventure and kind of write your own story. Those were always fun.
Let me ask you this. I know we've gotten far off your question. I apologize.
Dr. Seuss. Good one.
Did you ever?
It's not a real person.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm right.
Was he a doctor or not?
Dr. Thugonomics like John Cena.
Yeah. There's my new answer.
Did you ever do the reading, the choose your own adventure, but you would kind of like keep the one page marked in case it was like, oh, you got killed by the dragon.
I hate this adventure and go back.
That's not the one I was picking. I used to think
Scholastic Book Fair was awesome.
Yes,
it was.
Agreed. I used to think Dr. Seuss, well, before the recent stuff, was overrated. Because I thought he awesome.
The Scholastic Book Fair
just
thing just
up
popped
on your
up on my Facebook.
I used to think that Dr. Seuss was overrated because he would be like, the Florgan was on the Borgen. And I was like, sure, if you just make words up, you can rhyme them however you want.
But that's good because that's creative.
I know, but
then
I saw
creative is important.
He drew everything too, and I was like, okay, I'm more impressed. And then
like Simon.
Now I know people have other thoughts.
I'm sorry, Mike. Can you elaborate on Simon?
Please don't.
My name is Simon.
And I love to do drawings.
Yep, that's right.
I hate that I knew that SNL bit. And Alec, I'm sorry. This has turned into a weird K&C sing-along segment. My apologies for that.
You don't know you're beautiful.
Yeah, we're here for the chaos. This is what I do. This is what I thrive in, okay? This is my middle name. ACM are the initials, you can guess.
Kevin, chaos. Hold on. I'm sorry, Alec. But as you are taking over the midday Dallas Stars role here, I am seeing right now that the Stars have agreed to an 8-year, $66 million extension with Jake Oettinger.
Have they now?
Brian Ray says that'd be an $8.25 million average, right in line with the Ullmark deal, but twice the term.
And I feel like we talked about that, and was it the Rangers goalie about a week or so ago that turned down like the massive contract that we're now getting details on? And so I bet when the Stars heard the numbers on that, they're like, oh,
Shesterkin?
Crap. Yes.
Okay.
I bet they were like, is he going to want like 10 per year? And you said 8 for $66 million?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So $8.25 million per year is going to come in looking, I think, pretty reasonable. Like, obviously, it's going to be toward the top of the market right now. But when you see Shesterkin, what that's probably going to end up coming in at, you're going to be like, okay, I'm fine with that. I love Jake Oettinger. I'm glad he's here. And
hopefully he can win a cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. Before his contract's over, will he have won a cup with the Stars?
Well, he's at least going to go to two more.
But will he have won it?
Did he go to one? Was that in COVID?
Well, I was going to say two more. He will at least go to two because every 4 years.
He's only 25.
Our goalie in COVID?
Bishop.
Was St. Louis guy.
And Dobby. Because Bishop got hurt on the run, too, but Dobby went on his run.
Man, Dobby was a hero.
He was awesome.
Stars are going to win this year.
Yes, they are.
Only 25, by the way. So.
Undefeated.
By the way, from the 806, Chris Stapleton writes great lyrics. That is true. Like, he has some wonderful songs. Maya Angelou from Cody Corey from Burleson. Sandra Boynton.
I think probably did mean Angelou.
Angelou, yeah.
Corey from Burleson. Who knows that person is a good poet?
All Corey's know. We're all connected.
You know what, Mike? You'd be surprised. There's an amazing number of people here on the text that have elaborated on the Simon SNL sketch that I did not think anyone was going to
Flula.
Get.
Flula's a great lyricist.
Oh, yes. From the 214. That's the winner right there.
That is a good answer.
Honestly, for me, like, some of the best lyrics come into play in hip-hop. And especially like older hip hop too.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I think about great lyrics, I think about Tupac, I think about Jay-Z, I think about even as recent as Kendrick Lamar.
Alec.
I think J. Cole does a phenomenal job.
That's for next
job.
Tuesday, Mike.
J. Cole's really a talented lyricist as
J.
well.
J. Cole might be the best of our generation if I had to put a vote on it, and he's still doing great work, and I don't think it gets talked about enough.
Alec, do you think the same person who killed Tupac also killed Biggie Smalls?
Oh, man. We could do that AM on the FM next Tuesday. How about that? We could talk about
that
then.
What do you guys think on Twitch?
Conspiracy theories, our favorite part of the show. But real quick, I do want to run this. Nas Reed was on a Hoops podcast back in December, but SportsCenter got a hold of this last night and posted it. I thought this was awesome. He was talking about when he first got into the league, and James Johnson was a guy who really took him under his wing, and he told a story about when they went shopping on his first rookie deal.
He take me and Jalen Noel shopping. Or we go with him shop. We're not thinking that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm about to go spend a little $1,000. That's it, though. Like, you feel me? At most. Like, yeah. I'm going to get some Dior shoes or whatever. I pick out a pair of Dior. I'm about to pay for them. He like, don't ever take out your wallet when I'm around you. I'm like, what you mean? Like,
so you less.
He like, I'm like, what you mean? Like, I ain't want to overstep. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you mean? He's like, go pick out whatever you want. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, all right. So I come back. And I got maybe another $1,000. He like, that's it? I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm like, bro, I swear it's like 30 bands, 40 bands, like just between all three of us. Like, it's just crazy because it's like, I know you, but I don't even know you like that. You know what I'm saying? You know me, I come from loyalty. So I'm like,
man, James Johnson, you a real one, yeah. B.
Right when he got into the league, might want to turn the mic on. He, you know, obviously that rookie deal, he doesn't have too much money. He's like, I'm going to be smart with
that
this.
Is very nice.
But he was like, no, when you're around me, you're my rook. You're not taking out your credit card.
Who did this?
This was James Johnson. down in Houston.
Does he have a lot of money?
I mean, the player, though, thought spending $1,000 was like a crazy amount. So it still sounds like he didn't run up the tab.
The dude that
much.
Played for the Mavericks for a minute?
Yeah, is that the same guy who knows like karate and stuff and was horrible at basketball?
He knows karate.
Career earnings of $87 million.
Yeah, I think he had it pretty good back then,
Dang.
Man.
I just don't remember the karate part.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was supposed to be Luka's protector if one of the Morris brothers, one of them on the team now,
yeah.
ever took more shots at him or tried to destroy his Achilles that we have James Johnson now to deal with.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you have it. He's a nice guy at the end
basketball.
Of the day.
Yes. We're the KNC masterpiece.
Run off the bench like Mark Cuban did for Gary Trent.
Right here on
105.3. Gary Trent's trying to get women's phone numbers in the stands.
Is
Why don't
that
you
true?
Play basketball?
Is that real?
Yeah.
He was trying to get phone numbers?
Yeah.
They put it on this basketball.
He would just tell like one of the Gatorade boys or whatever, hey, send this up to that woman.
Okay, let's not pretend like there's never been a player on the Rangers that didn't write their number on
that
a baseball
happened.
And
that
throw
happened.
It up into the stand.
That definitely did.
Me?
Not you. I don't know, Mike. Was it you? Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Should Brock Purdy be higher up in the MVP conversation? Next, right here on The Fan.
Steele gets his first of this season, his second point. Stars right back to work. They score again. Wyatt Johnston. Bang, bang. 13 seconds apart. In the blink of an eye, it's 2-0.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. The Stars back in action tonight against the Capitals. That is the 4-0-0 Stars. But in case you missed it in the last segment, the breaking news that Corey brought to you was that Jake Oettinger has signed an 8-year, $66 million extension with the Stars. So that's $8.25 million per year. I think he turns 26 in December. I think it's a great deal, especially when you've seen that some goalie contracts have started to go the way of like the quarterback contract in terms of their explosive value.
Yeah, I think, was it Boston just recently signed Swayman to an 8-year, $66 million?
And I remember, was that like a week or two ago? Because I remember.
Yeah, like October 6th.
Because when that came out, we said, there's your template for the contract. Just like, you know, Jamar Chase saw the CeeDee Lamb deal and the Justin Jefferson deal. He's like, there's your template. That's what we're going to do.
That makes a lot of sense.
And so this, absolutely, it makes a lot of sense. Now, want to remind everybody, coming up today at 2:20, Kevin Harlan is going to be on the G-Bag Nation. We've had him on the show several times. He's always an awesome interview.
From the 469, it's got to be killing Kevin how great the Stars are.
No!
And then from the 817, the Stars and Mavs are going to be undefeated on December 1st. You heard it here first. So they're shooting far on this one.
That would be an incredible feat by both teams. I hope you're right. I love the Stars. I hope they continue to win.
Somebody said that signing Otter is like signing Dak, and it's a bad deal because he's okay in the playoffs. And I think when it comes to net binders, it's always one of those like you hope they get hot and you can ride that the whole time. But he's been a phenomenal goalie, man.
And so, look, I disagree. Well, first of all, I disagree with that idea just because I think Otter got worked to the frickin' bone in the regular seasons the last 3 years.
Yeah, I agree.
And he was great in the 2021-22 playoffs. Like, I realize you ended up losing in the first round. Not because of him. He was awesome in that series. I thought he had, like, one or two games that were very curious to me last year. But other than that, I thought he played much better in the playoffs last season than he did before. So, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
But if you do feel that way, I could definitely...
Win the cup.
Well, that's true.
Prove everybody wrong.
But if you do feel that way, I can definitely see how you're like, well, this is a dumb move.
Win the cup by yourself. Like, if every game is one and nothing, everybody would be like, wow, really happy we had Otter.
Yeah, I mean, that is fair. But right now...
Or whoever scored those one goals the entire time.
Hey, exactly. Could be Wyatt Johnston. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Indeed.
By the way, Gridiron Gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. I want to start by talking about this player in cut number 9, if you can. Should this player be higher up in the MVP conversations?
First down and goal. Play action. Purdy looking in zone. Let's it rip, and he's got a touchdown to Brandon Ayuk.
Now, I realize the team is only 3-3. Yeah. They have had a plethora of injuries. And I look at Brock Purdy. He's about, kind of depending on where you look, he's about 6th, maybe 7th for MVP, kind of in the same grouping as Sam Darnold and Jaden Daniels. And both of them have had amazing starts to the year. I'm just surprised that Brock Purdy's not a little higher.
Well, I would say, Corey, I'm overstating this, but we went over the top 10 quarterbacks before the season started, and I was shocked because there's no website that had Brock Purdy as a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
And that remains fascinating to me.
So if we're starting a season going, all the experts or whatever are saying he's not good, then I think it's going to be tough to have a team that's 3-3 to say, well, he's the MVP.
Oh, I mean, that makes a valid point there. And I guess because so much, he's been very fortunate to have so many talented pieces around him.
Yeah.
Like, it's not often that you get a top 3 tight end, top 3 running back, top 3 or top 10 receivers on your team. And then you have, you know, Trent Williams blocking for you and a dominant defense.
Yes.
So it's not often you all have all that, and then you're the quarterback that's just, are you riding along with it, or are you the catalyst for it? One of the things, though, Mike, that I told Kevin, I don't know if you were here whenever I said this, but I told Kevin to watch, kind of squint your eyes the next time you watch Brock Purdy. He's shorter, okay? I want to say that. He's shorter. But just kind of watch the way he moves and the way he throws and the way he directs traffic whenever on the move. He kind of reminds me of Aaron Rodgers a little bit. The way, like the movements of his body, his footwork, and the way he gets the ball out of his hand. Just kind of watch that and tell me if I'm wrong about this. But I agree. He's benefited a lot from having,
agreed,
from having a really good team.
And this year it feels like the opposite. Like, he's one of the reasons they stayed afloat despite getting hit with a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, and you can disagree with me on top 10 receivers. That's fine. Top 20. He has two really talented receivers. And then he connected with Juwan Jennings in a way whenever Debo went down that was, like, historic.
Yeah.
So, like, both of them, I think he's good. I just don't know if he's, you know, that Patrick Mahomes dude yet.
Let's jump from that to Mike Williams. Word is that the receiver for the Jets is on the trading block now, that they obviously made the corresponding move with Devontae Adams, and supposedly the Chargers, Steelers, and Saints are in the mix. This is not a question about, like,
so the Chargers want him back.
Yes.
Okay.
Is,
for his 2 games a
this
year.
I guess that answers my question from you, Mike. Is he a needle mover for you at all? Like, I'm not saying bring him to the Cowboys whatsoever. I'm just asking if you think he matters.
I think he was the 6th overall pick in his draft. Like, he was a very high pick.
Yeah.
He's living off of that. He's not living off of what he's done in the NFL on a consistent basis. He's an inconsistent receiver at best. Like, he has great games. They're so few and far between. You cannot. I think it's one of the stupidest things you can do is to say, I've seen him done it. I've seen him do it once. So he can do it over and over and over and over again. Why is the one time out of 8 games you're, well, he's going to, why can't I just take his one horrible game and say, well, he's going to do that over and over and over and over and over again? I think it's stupid to look at somebody and go, well, his best start is going to be what he can do every time.
I think you're,
why can't I look at it and go, well, his worst start is what he's going to do every time? Shouldn't I look at what his mean is? What does he do most of the time? That's probably what he's going to do.
Dude, I love what you just said, Mike.
I agree.
Because Jerry Jones says that all the time. If I've seen him do it once, I can know he can do it again. Yeah, but how consistently can he do it again? Yeah. And I think Mike's dead on with that. With him, though, he struggles to be in the right spot to learn the playbook. Aaron Rodgers pointed that out, but Aaron Rodgers likes to throw people under the bus. But he also just has a hard time connecting with his quarterbacks, no matter who it is.
Okay.
So I'm out.
Now, let's go with Thursday Night Football tonight. We'll talk about it again probably a little bit later, but man, Patrick Surtain out. Chris Olave out. Derek Carr doubtful. Shaheed, he's out for a while because he's going to get surgery today. And the Saints haven't specifically said how long he'll be out, but it looks like he will be out for some time, with some people even concerned that he's going to miss the rest of the season. So, man, a plethora of injuries going into this Thursday night football game.
I guess lucky they have Sean Payton coming back. You know what I mean?
I guess I actually am going to ask you again about that later, because I don't know how much I'm supposed to really care about this.
Mike was pointing out the Mavs have Giannis coming into town. Now, so
that is not for them.
Giannis is here in Dallas.
Yeah, not for the Mavericks, but
Sean
yes.
Sean Payton is in New Orleans.
And by the way, this is just a cool story. Titans rookie first-round pick J.C. Latham donated $75,000 to hurricane relief efforts in eastern Tennessee and Florida. So I just like it. The teams have been involved. I like it when players get involved, especially young players who are like, hey, this is kind of where I went to high school. I want to help out however I can. I always think that.
Yeah, that
cool
is cool,
deal.
Man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, a week out from the start of the Mavs season, we ask, how much better can Lively get this year? Plus more info about the TV deal next on The Fan.